It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Like many post-industrial Rust Belt cities, Pittsburgh has gone through a renaissance, but there are still many pockets of urban decay. Besides being a physical blemish to neighborhoods, it's estimated that vacant properties in the region can cost the city over $400,000 each year. Fortunately, a number of community organizations are working to combat urban blight through grassroots campaigns and informative programs. Operation Better Block in Homewood is one of those groups. We're joined now by Operation Better Block Community Development Coordinator Demi Kolke. Demi Kolke, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Demi, let's have you start off by explaining and describing where we are right now.
So right now, we are in one of Operation Better Block's target areas. We are in the southern part of Homewood, right near the East Busway. Right to my right, we have Faison Elementary School, which is one of the newest public schools here in the city of Pittsburgh. But looking around, you will see blight surrounding it. So I'm standing in front of an old abandoned vacant church. There's an overgrown vacant lot in front of me, and then some owner-occupied houses kind of sprinkled throughout the area.
So tell us about the history of Operation Better Block. What was going on culturally at the time, and who decided to push for this movement?
Yeah, so Operation Better Block has been around since 1970. We were incorporated in 1971. We really got our start just from some residents in the neighborhood that were very interested in cleaning up their blocks. So they wanted to clean it up, the physical area, litter, dump sites, but also clean up the crime that was starting to come into the neighborhood. So it was a very grassroots movement, and residents just started to organize themselves and come together on a block basis. And then once they got enough information, training, kind of the financial support, they were able to actually become an incorporated nonprofit organization.
What are the biggest concerns Homewood residents have about property here?
There are a few concerns. I think one of the concerns is the abandoned property. People are concerned about the dangerous conditions that they present. So oftentimes there's falling building materials. There's oftentimes arsons that happen in these abandoned properties. So they're dangerous, and they can be right next to an owner-occupied home. They can be right next to the school. So I think residents have a lot of concerns just about the danger that the vacant properties can present. So that's something that we work very diligently with the residents with, is identifying those problem properties and as soon as possible getting them addressed.
But there's also a problem of violence in this neighborhood. When you see these types of properties, it sort of exacerbates an attitude of disregard for the area and therefore contributes to crime, which leads to violence. And it's a vicious cycle, isn't it?
It is. So disregard is a good word. When there are properties that are not maintained, it does give the appearance of nobody cares. So that allows other activities to happen here. People feel that they can get away with certain things that they might not be able to get away with in other neighborhoods. So that is something that OBB recently, in the last maybe 5-6 years, has really gone back to our roots and organizing people on a block-by-block basis. So let's take ownership of your home and the area directly adjacent to your home, and then let's involve your neighbor in that. And that neighbor in that. So we are starting to form a collective at a very grassroots block level so that we can make a visible appearance and people can start to feel that ownership, visibly see it, and then move the neighborhood forward.
How would you say that blight has affected the culture of Homewood?
So that is the first thing that people notice about the neighborhood oftentimes, is the over prevalence of this vacancy. It has kind of impacted the way that people view the neighborhood. So some people prescribe to the broken windows theory, right? So if you see a broken window, it only lends to more disarray in the neighborhood. So the negative perspective has kind of been a plague on the neighborhood, and it has been one of the defining features in the neighborhood that Operation Better Block is continuing to try and advance the neighborhood past that.
And how do you convince someone to invest in a community that has a history of blight and urban deterioration? What strategies do you employ to promote Homewood?
That's a really great question. So oftentimes, in the media, Homewood is portrayed in a negative light. You know, the crimes are what's looked at, the different abandonment issues that we're having, but there's a huge, huge opportunity in the neighborhood as well.
We have a school bus going by.
Because vacancy does not only have to be a liability, but it can also be an opportunity. There's so much room for people to dream about what they'd like to see here. You know, this is right adjacent to the school. This could be a great little play space. So we really try and promote the blight in the neighborhood, not as a liability, but as an opportunity. And additionally, Homewood is saturated with assets. We are very lucky in that we not only have a YMCA, we also have a YWCA. We have early childhood, elementary, high school, and a CCAC branch. So the full scope of education, you know, so we have nonprofits, we have after school programs. So there's really a lot going on in the neighborhood that is up in the positive.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I'm joined by the Community Development Coordinator of Operation Better Block, Demi Kolke. Much of what you teach and promote with Operation Better Block is based on self-improvement. You give people the tools it takes to improve their community. What does that look like here in Homewood?
Yeah, so we are big proponents of Operation Better Block. We kind of want to be the behind-the-scenes support. We want to give people the education, the tools that they need to make the change, and we'll be that support system to move it forward. So we do that in different ways. One of the ways that we do that is through our Bridge to Benefits program. That is the very basic essence of signing people up for any public benefits they might be eligible for to get them more self-sufficient, more financially responsible. We do credit and budget counseling. So giving individual households the tools is a really big key to us.
What do you hear from youth who have gone through Operation Better Block programs? What kinds of skills are they leaving with?
Yeah, so we have an after-school program for 14 to 18-year-olds called the Junior Green Corps. We are really focused on preparing them for the green economy. So we not only do tutoring and mentoring, but we're also providing them with really tangible skills that they can take when they graduate and hopefully implement in their studies or in their future jobs. So we do things such as vacant lot remediation, green wall installation, and those are the things that we are trying to equip them with so that they're kind of on the cutting edge of what's new and upcoming in the industries.
As we stand here, you've got a lot of interesting sounds moving through the neighborhood. Do you think grassroots organizations like Operation Better Block are the best method of tackling the problems that exist here?
I think it takes an entire team. I don't think that Operation Better Block or other organizations like Operation Better Block can do it on our own. It takes residents. Residents are our number one team players. They are the ones driving and leading. We support what they say. So it takes residents. It takes the property owners, the property managers. It takes city government. It takes, you know, all our political representation. So I do think that grassroots organizations absolutely have a priority in revitalizing neighborhoods and the city, but I don't think it can be done single-handedly. It has to be a team approach.
Walk us through your vision for Homewood. What would you like to see this neighborhood looking like in the next 10 years?
So I'm going to answer that from what I've heard from the residents. Going door to door, just talking to people and hearing about the rich and beautiful history that Homewood had, people really want to see that brought back. And I think a main component of that is a revitalized business district. People want to be able to get their basic needs and necessities right here in the neighborhood. So I think that is one of the key things that we hear from almost nearly everyone that we talk to. They want access to food. They want to be able to get their prescription filled here. You know, so I think that is a key component. And then I think another thing is just healthy, active spaces, oftentimes for children. You know, we hear that a lot. There's a lot of little ones in Homewood. And so making sure that they're safe and that they have conducive places to play in. So that would mean turning a lot of the vacant lots into gardens where they can learn to grow things or playgrounds where they can play on safely.
Demi Kolke has been our guest here on Essential Pittsburgh. She is the Community Development Coordinator for Operation Better Block, working here to improve things in Homewood, which is a neighborhood that has faced a lot of challenges. Demi Kolke, thank you so much for talking with us, for showing us around Homewood and sharing your vision for this community with us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me. I invite everyone to come out and try some of the great barbecue here in the neighborhood. Any chance you get, that's what we're known for, and you will not regret it. Thank you.
Thank you. More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Our look at vacant properties and urban blight continues as we travel to the north side, where the community here has built an outdoor classroom for the nearby Propel School with help and guidance of GTEC Strategy's Green Places Initiative. The project reclaims vacant spaces near youth facilities and creates accessible activity areas. Here to tell us more about Green Places and GTEC's new blight-fighting resource, Lots to Love, is Evane K. Singh, Director of Operations and Programming for GTEC. Evane K. Singh, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Evane, let's begin by having you tell us about Green Places. What is it and who takes part?
Sure. So the Green Places Initiative is a project that we started through funding with the Heinz Endowments in order to connect youth to their environment and ensure that they have safe and creative places to play and to learn and just to connect back to nature.
And the space that we're in right now is relatively new. Describe where we are and how this came to be.
Sure. So yes, this space was actually just dedicated about a week and a half ago. It's an extension of the Propel Northside School, which is just up the street from us. And essentially, it's an outdoor classroom for them. It's a space where the students can take some of their lessons outside. It's a space where some of the teachers can bring the students who need, sort of time out or some counseling space. And it's also a place that the community can use for any sort of outdoor gathering. We did it in partnership with Propel and several of the neighbors and community residents in both the design and implementation of the space. And it's really just a nice addition to their campus.
And you've got some cool stuff here. There's a sort of a little bench that is carved into two tree stumps and plants around and a stone path. So it is a sort of a little oasis in the middle of the sirens and different things that are going off around us on the north side.
Sure. So we actually created the space with design input from both students, residents, and teachers. And so when you do that, you get quite a few ideas. And the space is not large. So we did our best to maximize, multifunctional pieces. So we have tree stumps that double climbing structures, but also seating for a classroom setting. We have a little free library for reading time. We have chalkboards for both art and, to practice writing. We have a xylophone so they can even practice some of their music class out here. And so we really wanted to make it functional for both several age groups as well as several types of activities and events.
Tell us about GTEC's Lots to Love website. What would we find if we visited that page?
Sure. So the Lots to Love resource is our newest online resource, and it's really meant to be sort of the starting point in a one-stop shop for anyone interested in doing greening projects or have questions about blight reduction strategies. When you go to the site, the first thing that you'll see is an interactive map that does a couple of things. First, it simplifies county assessment data to help people find out who owns the site and what state it might be in from a tax standpoint. And it also features several projects like this one that people just want to share the work that they're doing and have people participate in those spaces.
Who primarily approaches you about projects?
It's a mix. In some cases, community groups or organizations or communities and residents have identified goals that they are trying to achieve. And then, they are proactive enough to seek out the partners that will help support them in achieving those goals. For some projects like this one, sometimes it's the reverse, where we know we have identified the need. In this case, we completed a report in 2013-2014 looking at the overlay of high levels of vacancy, high areas of youth concentration, and few environmental programs. And we identified certain neighborhoods that we felt would most benefit from a project like this. And then our job is to find the appropriate partners that will support us in executing that.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with Evane K. Singh, Director of Operations and Programming for GTEC, about the Green Places Initiative. And what kinds of projects have people created through Lots of Love and Green Places?
So the projects range from, you know, a simple corner flower garden that might introduce you to a new neighborhood, to rain gardens and other stormwater projects, to play spaces and outdoor classrooms like this one. We also feature some green and screen projects, which are basically used on a business district to fill the gap and create a really nice sort of attractive art feature that connects building to building. So there's really a big variety of projects, and each one is different because the space is different and the resources and the people who are going to be using it are all individuals.
And what are you doing to encourage more residents to participate?
So we actually, that is our goal right now, is to have people be, taking steps forward. Just this past weekend, in partnership with four other organizations, we hosted a Blight Boot Camp, the first ever in Pittsburgh, and with the goal of having residents know that there are steps they can already take and feel empowered to take those steps. With Lots to Love, we've seen a lot of great attention to the site, but people still seem hesitant to actually participate and give us their information and contribute to it. And we want it to be a resource that grows as the communities grow.
Evane Singh is Director of Operations and Programming for GTEC. We've been talking about the Green Places Project and GTEC's new blight fighting resource, Lots to Love. So one way to deal with blight that we've learned about here on the North Side. Evane, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Coming up, we'll learn about a land bank project in Cleveland and what Pittsburgh can learn from it. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.